whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Hey, Thomas.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing good.
I wish you could say you look good, but I cannot see you.
Yeah, you got me. Jump bang.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, God. Still, I'm a bit late. I was trying to find a man to fit a cooker on an island in the middle of the Outer Hebrides.
What are you doing there? I mean, you're supposed to watch Karlsruhe play. The Bundesliga started again. You know, you're not supposed to be somewhere else. I mean,
yeah, I know. It's big. Football. Me and football are not happening at the moment. Right?
Oh,
it was bad enough that 5-1 in the Euros. I knew it was going to happen, and I'm so lucky that I have a wife who is understanding, and who is and she's also very pro-Scottish, right? And we sat on the couch, and I knew, right? I am of the generation, right, that saw Scotland go to Argentina when everybody was doing Ali McLeod, we're going to win the World Cup. I remember all that. And I was sucked into that a long time ago. And I have never been sucked into it again. So when everybody here was going, oh, yeah, we're going to get at least a draw from Germany, and they're not very good at the moment, and like, we could win this. And I'm going, nah, don't go there. No. And it was like, and there was a friend of mine that was on Scottish TV, right? And he was very drunk, and they got him before the match, right? and they said, so what do you think the score will be? He's going, oh, 2-0 for Scotland, easy. And I'm going, no. And there goes goal number three, and my wife was great. She didn't rub it in. She didn't. She just said, oh no. and my football club, Hibernian in Edinburgh, is rubbish, which is one of the reasons why my wife and I are moving to the Outer Hebrides in Scotland. We're getting as far away from the stadium as possible. But I tell you the funny thing, you'll like this, right? So we've bought a croft. We have a croft, which is like a small farm.
It's
about 14 hectares, right, on this island, on a really small island in the Outer Hebrides. You walk out our front door, you go over a field in 5 minutes, and you're on our white sand beach, right?
Yeah.
You go back door, you go across a hill, 40 minutes over grassland, and you're on a beach that's 3.5 miles long.
Oh.
The best white sand beach in the world 3 years ago, right? On loneliest. And from the sea, the next piece of land is America. That's where we lived, right?
So do you live right next to Father Ted, or do you?
I got to tell you this. We've got 13 sheep, right? We've got 13 sheep, right? And they're called blackface, Scottish blackface sheep, right? We have 13 sheep. And they're called Harriet Brownlee Shadler, Stanton Black Blackley, Edwards Gordon Cropley Duncan, Hamilton and Hazel, which is the Hibernian team from 1972. I used to see when I was a child with my dad. We know all the names, but we don't know which one is which.
You got to slaughter them according to the people who died.
Yeah, or how bad they play.
So
we're going to teach them how to play football and enter them into the Highland Games.
Do you live next to Father Ted?
Yeah. That's what it's like. That's what the island's like. It's great. It's beautiful. I love it.
It's insane.
I would never ever have thought, right? Yeah. So I do this European tour.
Yeah.
Right? And during the tour, I've got to work out who the boyfriend's going to be, right? Because my sheep are no longer lambs, right? So they're now of age. They can now be presented to a gentleman, right? A gentleman sheep. So we've got to find the gentleman sheep. So my neighbour is going to be sending me photographs. Here, there's this one. There's another one, right? And then I come back off the European tour, and then the 13 sheep, the football team, they go and meet the gentleman sheep, and they spend a couple of days with the gentleman sheep. Then we come back from the UK tour, right? Yeah. And that's when all the lambs are born. So we go from a rock and roll tour into a lambing season on a farm, right? Unbelievable. Yeah.
Is there a Twitter for sheep? I didn't know.
Yeah.
A Tinder. Let's see how far I'm off. Oh, man. That's just insane.
It's great.
Are there already bets running? How long are you going to stand living on an island and then return?
Oh, no. Anybody puts a bet on that, it's a no-brainer. It's like, I've done it. I mean, this is a farewell tour.
Yeah.
And I've had a great time in the music business. I've had a fantastic time in the music business. It's been really good to me. I've got lots of friends. I've got wonderful fans who have been so supportive over the years. But the reality is that, you know, the business has changed. People don't really buy albums anymore. Yeah. They listen on Spotify, you know, and, you know, the only place you can really make a living, earn a living, is on the road. And, you know, my reality is I will never be playing arenas again. You know, I will never play arenas again. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend the rest of my life on a tour bus, you know, and waking up on a tour bus to do another venue. I'm 66. My accountant said to me, she said, there's money in your account. And I went, where from? Right. I knew it wasn't Spotify. Right. I said, I don't know. I said, there's money in the account. She said, yeah. She said, there's money coming. I said, I've not done any TV. I've not done any radio work for a while, right? And then I realized it was my pension.
No, you got to be kidding me.
No, I've got a government pension now. I get it every month. So it's not, it's more than Spotify, right?
But you know,
I earn more on a pension than I do from Spotify. But I mean, the thing is, it's like I realized in all honesty, right?
Yeah.
Thomas, it was like, there's only so long, and it's a young man's game now, and I've got more things to do than run about Europe in buses. And my wife and I both felt we had one more big adventure left. So we've taken over this croft, and my wife is going to run. She's from Karlsruhe, as you know, right? So she's going to run like a small restaurant. So it's only for like 2 tables, 10 sittings, and a cafe, right? So we've got a small restaurant and cafe that's basically people come up to the beach, cycle. We're going to introduce Scottish people to Radlers, right?
Excellent.
We're going to do Radlers, right? Because we get bike teams come through, right?
Yeah.
And we have a garden and we grow our own vegetables, our own fruit and vegetables. We sell that through the shop. Wife runs the restaurant, the cafe. And I've got a lovely room upstairs and I look straight onto the sea. And I can write my autobiography, I can do my writing, and I've got my friendly 13 sheep that I'm teaching now to play football, and it's going to be great. And every, you know, maybe in the end of the year when it's winter and it's really dark and it's really shitty, right, we can come off for maybe 4 weeks and we can do like Fishheads Club tour or something, you know?
Yeah.
We could just do some acoustic or stand-up, read from a book and just play a small club to 250 people. Eat in a restaurant, stay in a hotel, 4 weeks, bit of sun, go home, you know? See the sheep.
So are you going to serve sheep and lamb at this restaurant?
Lamb and sheep, actually.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. I'll get this wrong.
Totally. This is it. We can, you know, I've got no problems. We're going to get chickens and stuff. We thought about with so much rain. There's so much rain. And the back of the croft is like Shrek Swamp, right? We thought we're getting water buffalo.
I'm going to come and visit this pub and this restaurant. I have to see.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Mark my words. One day I'm going to be knocking at the door. I want lamb. Okay.
But it's going to be brilliant. It's good. It's the right time. It's the right time in my life. It's the right time in Simona and I's life. We've got one big adventure. We can go for it, you know. And it's time to, it's, you know, the music business, young man's game, you know. I'll let somebody else, you know, I mean, as I said, the only place you can make money now is on the road. So yeah. I'll give my space in the venue. I'll give my night in a club to some other guy, you know.
Well, you know, but It's funny that you said it's a young man's game. From what I've learned in the past couple of years, although you are quite awfully young to retire when it comes to all those rock bands. Deep Purple is still on the road. The Scorpions will never go away. You know, they're just, you have to get them off the stage. I mean, no offense.
But they're playing arenas, right? It's easier when you're playing arenas and you can afford a physiotherapist, you know? Yeah. Okay. That's the difference, you know? Like, yeah. I'm destined to be playing, you know, 2,000 capacity. You know, that's it. So yeah. you have to keep moving. You know, you don't have... You can't really stay in big hotels. You don't have a team. You're still fighting. You're still in a guerrilla warfare element of touring, you know. And it's like, you know, and I don't want to do that. You know? I've done it. I've had great fun, and I've played arenas and I've played stadiums and I've done it. But this is the time to go. You know. No.
It's so definitive. Is there anything, music wise, music business wise, concert wise, whatever, where you would say, okay, I've done everything, but I've missed out on this one. Is there anything left for you to achieve? Was there any goal that you said, like, I could not do this?
I'm quite happy with doing what I've done. I've been really lucky and I'm really grateful for the opportunities that I've been given. You know, I played Wembley Stadium. I played Mannheim with Queen, a big open air. It's really weird. I mean, my favorite tours, right? Fishheads Club tour was a huge, was massive. Coming back from the vocal operation and doing that, playing Bosnia in 1996 with the army when we played the United Nations, that was incredible. Even playing Mogadishu, going flying into Mogadishu, doing one show and coming out, that was amazing. Yeah, you know? I've done like loads of stuff that's been great. You know, we had great times in America. We had wonderful tours. You know, I mean, Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really that I kind of go, oh, I wish I'd done that. It's been cool.
It's still amazing, though, because I think to be an artist, it doesn't come from you want to do this, but you must do it. And so I was wondering, you know, once you stopped everything when it comes to the music business and touring, are there still songs left in you? Will there be new songs left in you where you go like, oh God, I got an idea? You know,
I don't know. I mean, the bottom line is, I am a writer who can sing. I am not a singer who can write. I'm a writer who can sing. And there's a big difference between the two. I love writing. I love words. Yeah. That's what I'm really, really good at, is words, right? The singing it's a natural expression. It's my soul. It's my spirit. It makes me sing, right?
Yeah.
Yes, there will be a calling. And, you know, maybe somewhere down the line, you know, there's like, maybe I'll work with some young musicians in Scotland and I'll turn myself into the Highland version of Leonard Cohen, you know, with a big, deep voice, you know. I could burn on a wire. No.
So you basically... But you are still looking forward to this tour. You are.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this tour because it's like the movie Reds or whatever it was, where you've got like Helen Mirren and Sylvester Stallone and John Malkovich, and they're all sitting there going, "We can do it one more time." You know, it's like that. You know, and I've got Mickey Simmons, who I met when he was with Mike Oldfield, and Mickey came to me, and then we wrote the Vigil in a Wilderness of Mirrors album, right? And then he wrote the Eternal Exile album with me and Robin Bolt. And interestingly enough, like now we have the two remixes, the 2024 remixes, Vigil and Eternal, right? That are out. And it's I'm ending my tour. It's like a great big circle closing. You know, I started with Vigil and Eternal, and I'm finishing with Vigil and Eternal, and I'm going out with the same band that started me on my solo tour. So Mickey Simmons, Robin Bolt, Steve Vances, who co-wrote 13 Star, Feast of Consequences, Weltschmerz, you know. Yeah. He's coming out. Gavin Griffiths is my drummer. And I've got Elizabeth Troy Antwi on backing vocals, who's just a genius. And she did the Rain Gods of Zippo's album. And on the tour, on the gigs, I mean, the shows are about 2 hours long. And we've got 34 songs to choose from. We are rehearsing 34 songs. And we pick about 17 every night. And there'll always be changes every night. Some of the songs will move in, move out. And I just, all the songs will be the last time that I play these in the big electrical format with a full band, you know? Yeah, so it's going to be really cool.
How did you choose out of the 375,000 songs that you have, those 34 songs?
Some of them are obvious.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, I mean, I think I've written about 150 songs, 160 songs. So there was some I just wanted to play.
Okay.
So stuff like, you know, from the Marillion catalogue, I mean, there's the Kaylee Lavender Art Lothian thing, you know, Incubus, Fugazi. But I don't want to be too, you know, that was only four albums, you know.
Yeah.
A big four albums for some people, but we touch them and we play some songs on them. But, you know, you've got Eternal Exile and Vigil, the two new releases, right?
Yeah.
You've got Lucky, you've got Credo, you've got Shadowplay, Just Good Friends. You know, you've got all those songs, great songs, like classics.
Yeah.
And then you've got Plague of Ghosts from Ringo's The Zippos that is, we've not played for ages. I'm just go out and play it. And Feast of Consequences. And Weltschmerz. I mean, my last album, Weltschmerz, an album that was never played live in Germany because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
And so we're bringing Weltschmerz into, you know, songs from Weltschmerz. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
You know, how come that I just looked at the list of all the concerts that you do. How come that all the concerts in the Netherlands are sold out already? I mean, what is wrong with the Dutchies? Or what's right with them? Do you have a special connection to those guys?
I think we always said, I think it had a lot to do with radio and TV.
Okay.
When you think about it, because I mean, Holland gets BBC. And, you know, so that they were a lot, the Dutch were in the 1980s, they were listening to a lot of the rock stations and things. Right, early Doors of where Marillion would get played. And I think as well, you know, it's just this relationship. I mean, I've always had a brilliant relationship with Germany. I mean, there's a lot of German gigs in there as well.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that the Dutch gigs sold out first, you know. And I'm sure, you know, Karlsruhe has sold out already. Karlsruhe sold out in the early Doors. Yeah. Hamburg's nearly sold out. And, you know, they'll all be gone by the time we come out to play, you know. And Munich, we had brilliant. The last two times we were down in Munich, brilliant shows. Absolutely brilliant shows.
Yeah. I'm going to be there for this one too, definitely.
You'll like it. Bring the sheet. I'll bring them all good. I'll have them inside the stage.
I somehow I even believe you. But anyway, what is there in all of your career? Have you ever thought about how your very last concert must look like? Or is this something that you come across now? You go like, this is going to be the last one now. How is it going to be?
Well, Glasgow's the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, basically Glasgow, I come off stage at Glasgow. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got no idea, you know.
Okay.
I mean, even next Friday, I'm doing the last Fish and Friday broadcast from here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, Fish and Friday's been 4 years. We've been doing a program most Fridays for 4 years, ever since COVID, since lockdown, since we started it, or since I started it. And I've got no idea what I'm going to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do in the last show. But, I mean, every show is the last show. I mean, you know, when we play Munich, it's going to be... Munich will be the last show in Munich, you know?
Well, okay, yeah, right.
And it's just so, I mean, every night, there's going to be emotions tied in with every night, you know? So when I actually go, thank you very much, Munich, good night, it is good night, Munich. It is goodbye, you know? So that... Unless I'm back there for the next Euros.
might as well happen.
Yeah.
You have pretty much all your records, I think, are re-released and remixed and, you know, made with packages that are very opulent. There's a lot to discover on those last two releases. Was all this material in the archives? Was there all kicking around?
It's all been kicking around. And what I wanted to do was, you know, before I retired, I wanted to have my entire catalogue kind of in a format.
Yeah.
So that's why we remastered a lot of the early. We started to remaster them about, 8 years ago. And the last two were always going to be Eternal Exile and Vigil. The first two albums. That's what I said. It's the big circle. You know, I started. I mean, you know, I'm talking to you here in the studio. This is where we wrote Vigil. This is where we recorded Eternal Exile.
All right.
And this house has been sold for moving up to go up to the Croft.
Yeah.
And it was important for me to kind of put them. I wanted to put them in a format that I wanted, you know, not so much like what a fan wanted. I wanted to put them in something that I could give to my daughter.
Yeah.
That's what your dad did, you know. And I'm really happy with that. I mean, Vigil and Eternal, I've got to say that if I really knew what I was getting involved with a year and a half ago, I think I would have stopped myself because it started with, I mean, both Vigil and Eternal, there's three CDs. There's the complete remix on one CD, the demos on another, the live stuff on another two CDs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's a Blu-ray with two full concerts from the day and the Dolby Atmos and all the bit. And it's like, and we got to the point where we're going to have to charge like 70 euros to make money off this, right?
Yeah.
And I had to, we can't do this. So we've had to bring it. And basically, I'm making about as much, although the album might be for 50 euros or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the profit margin is so small because there's so much on it. Right?
Yeah.
And like, look, it's been ridiculous. But I'm happy. That's the way I've always done things. I would never have kept a job at a record company because I would have lost them so much money.
But you still have your pension. It's all good.
Yeah, I know. I had the sheep. I had the sheep. Don't forget the sheep boxes.
It's insane.
And the Radlers. Yeah.
You know, you seem so much at peace with everything you've decided to do now. Do you, still looking back, do you think you got all the merits that you deserve?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's like, I'm happy and proud of what I've done. I mean, you know, the songs, there are songs like out there, like Just Good Friends and Gentlemen's Excuse Me and Sugar Mice, and there are songs in my solo catalogue right the way through. I mean, even off Belschmerz, I mean, Garden of Remembrance, right? That's had, you know, Garden of Remembrance has had over 1 million plays on YouTube on the video, right?
Yeah.
Of which I hardly see anything, right? And, you know, it would have been nice to have had a couple of big hits. I mean, you know, Kaylee was the big one.
Yeah.
And Lavender, but, you know, and that's the same. But then again, if I'd had, and this is the way I look at it, if I'd had a big hit with one of those songs,
yeah,
it would have changed where I am now, right? And I wouldn't be able to make the decisions that I'm making now, right? So everything is relative. That's the way I look on it, you know? And maybe in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, maybe somebody will license my catalog from me and one of these songs will pop up somewhere, like, you know, running up that hill that Kate Bush had or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it'll pop up and go, oh, yeah. It's in the same way. I never heard of Nick Drake. Right. When I was, I didn't hear Nick Drake until I was in my 40s. Right.
Yeah.
And I love Nick Drake's music. Right. And I think that's what I'm happy about. I'm happy that I've got a collection of songs that people will be able to savor and enjoy for years to come. I don't have to sing them anymore. They're all recorded. And the recordings that we've made are great recordings. And the remixes are great remixes. So that's what I'm leaving. That's what I bequeath, you know. And I'll be quite happy and I'll be up there and I'm looking forward to sinking fence posts in and putting fences and digging drains. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I like the soul of that, you know, I learned that during COVID. You know, I think because of lockdown, because we were lucky we lived in the country and we were forced to become very introspective and to look at what we were, where we were and how we were. And I think it's that I went, I really like this. And that's what we were taking. That's what my wife Simone and I decided to take on. And that's what we're going to in the Croft. So it's the right time to walk from the music business, have fun, say goodbye and wave to the people and go, thank you very much. And then get in the car and drive to the island. You know?
From what you've been telling me, this sounds more like a funnier version of Clarkson's Farm than Clarkson's Farm. I wish you could have filmed that. I wanted to see that.
Yeah, we'd been offered. I mean, yeah, we had offers from film companies to do it, and we said no, we're not doing it.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I didn't want the intrusion of privacy at this stage we're going into, because I think, you know, it would have been too easy to focus on the mistakes and too easy to focus on the things that go wrong.
Yeah. Right?
And I didn't want to provide that. That's not the entertainment I want to provide to people, you know.
Okay.
So what Simone and I have decided is we go up there, we do everything on our own terms, and we keep it at that level. And then when we're ready, then we'll open it up. But we don't really need to open it up, you know. The idea is to try and create something that is self-sustainable. I mean, it's all air source heat pumps and solar PVs, and eventually there'll be a wind turbine and things, you know. So that's what we want to do.
Well, now, when I come to visit your restaurant, just tell me the name of your restaurant.
It's not really got a name yet. It's taken us a year to learn how to pronounce the name of our house.
But I understand it.
it's if you write it down, it's BEASDAIRE, and it reads like Biasdere, right?
But what's it pronounced?
Vistasa.
What?
Vistasa. Vistasa. Okay. Right? And it's old Nordic, right? Because on our island there were Vikings. And it's an old Nordic name, and it means homestead or farm, right? And we actually, on the croft, seriously, we've got a 13th century chapel and graveyard on our croft, right?
Yeah.
And there's evidence of Vikings, there's evidence of post-Iron Age settlements as well on the island. It's incredible, right? We've got archaeology for days as well.
Yeah, right?
And I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a kid. Right.
You've got to be one now.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's just amazing. I have no more further questions, Jonna. I could talk to you for fucking hours. It's such a fucking fun time. It's so good.
It's going to be cool. I'm so looking forward to it. It's great, you know. I mean, yeah, the last thing I ever wanted to be was going to sit. I mean, with this house, it was like, you know, what? I'm full. I mean, that's the only way I can describe this place. I'm full. I don't know what to do here anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it was a whole mixture of that when someone and I were saying, like, what are we going to do? I tell you, I'm going to tell you a great story to finish, right? Brilliant, right? So the reason we went up north, right? My mother was in care with us for 4 years, right? And we knew she was going to have to move into a home. It was getting too complicated. And my wife and I said, you know, what are we going to do here? And for loads of reasons. And we actually said, we need to downsize, right? And I had a friend of mine who's an artist, right, called Keith McIntyre. And he did the cover of the Songs from the Mirror album, which is a charcoal thing called the Guddler, right? And he was at our wedding, right? And he said, you've got to come up and see us, right? And when he explained where he was, I've known him for 30 years, right? And he converted this church on this island, right?
Yeah.
And he said, and I'd seen, it's on a TV series, right? Like, it's on a TV thing, the actual renovation of this church. And he said, you've got to come up. And I said, well, how do you get there? He said, you've got to drive for 6.5 hours. Then you go across the island, the sky. Then you get to a ferry. Then you get the ferry for 2 hours. Then you get off the ferry. Then you go right. Then you go up and you go across this blah, 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 up across the locks. And then you go across a causeway between the two islands. Then you go onto the island, take a right at the White Sand Beach, take a left. That's where we are. And I'm going, get real. And anyway, I thought, this is like fucking Brigadoon, right? It's like, and we went, and I said to Simone, I said, well, last 2 years ago, I said, let's go. And just, let's just go and see him.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Highlands and keep our eyes open, because we said, look, we both decided we wanted to move from here. And we went, well, where are we going to move, right?
Yeah.
And we said, well, let's maybe up north. You know, it might be great with global warming and everything else and everything that's happening. You know, maybe the islands is where we should go, right?
Yeah.
And we went all the way up. Long story, we did the ferry, we did the causeway, we did the bit, we got to the church, and we went out to Akeley that night. C-A-A-C-A-I-L-I-D-H, Kakeli, right? Akeli is a Gaelic name for a coming together of people, right? And I'd never been to a real Kaylee before, right? Yeah. And everybody thought that because I wrote Kaylee, right, that had something to do with Kaylee. It didn't, right?
Yeah.
And we got invited. So we went to this, we went to a Kaylee, my first ever proper one. Band playing, it was Runrig songs, Eagles, traditional Highland music, it was people dancing, lots of beer, shitloads of whiskey, right? And it was just great. People talking, just, and it was a community coming together. And it was like, and it was just so friendly and so beautiful. And it was in a byre where you keep cows, and had a sand floor because it was down by the beach, right? So we're dancing in sand on a byre, drinking beer and stuff, and it was great. And at the time, we were smoking at that time, about a year ago, right? And we went outside and we were talking. One of the musicians was there. And people said, "What's your name?" I said, "I'm Derek. Fish doesn't live up there anymore, right? Fish does not live there. It's Derek, right?" Yeah. And the musician knew who I was. And he's, you know, we were talking. And there was a girl, and my wife and I were talking to this girl, and everybody goes, "What do you do? What do you do?" Right? And I said, "So what's your name then?" Right? And she goes, "My name's Kaylee." I said, "You're kidding me. I'm meeting Kaylee. This is a joke. In the middle of the Western Isles, I mean, something called Kaylee. I mean, the chances are incredible, right?" And I said to her, "So was your dad a big Marillion fan then?" She goes, "No." She said, "My mum fancied the singer."
This is just incredible.
Then when she found out who I was, it was like bang, you know. And then we all got talking, and what happened was that, you know, we Simone and I were going like, "Well, could we live here?" I mean, and we got talking to these people, they're going, "You'd love it here." I'm like, "It's great." And we were, the sense of community was one of the things that really sold us. And anyway, we drove all the way down the archipelago of that, you know, Hebrides. And the croft came up for sale, and it was the croft right next door to my friend's house.
And it's destiny.
I tell you the weird thing, right? This is the great thing, right? So there's a hill at the back of our croft, right? And there's golden eagles on it, right? There's golden eagles on the hill. They come down and sit around about the house, right? They're looking at the sheep. Food. McDonald's. And it's... the thing was that there's a loch at the bottom of the hill, and it's like a freshwater loch. It only really comes in the winter, and then it disappears in the summer, right? Or it goes down a bog. And we didn't know what the loch was. And one day we were looking at a local map on the side of the local bistro, right?
Yeah.
And it had the name of the loch. And the loch is called the Tara Loch, right? And both Simona and I have daughters called Tara, right?
How much more destiny can you have?
You know, it's just incredible. And there's been so many coincidences and stuff, and like, you know, it's been weird, really weird. But Simona said, she said to me, she said, "I've never known you be so relaxed and so at peace as where you are with us, you know. So, beautiful place. You'll see it." Yeah.
Oh, I will.
I'll introduce you to all the sheep. But I'll be keeping an eye on you.
Hang on, I'm not from Wales, don't forget that. it's just fine that you get all the time you have now once this whole thing is over, but I'm gonna fucking miss talking to you. You know that.
It's really weird. I'm, you know, the other weird thing is, it's like I was told that this is really strange. Long time ago, before I went into music, I was told I would have three careers by a guy, an Iranian guy, read my palm. And he said, when I was in forestry, he said, "You're going to have three careers in your life. There's one you're in now, you're going to leave it very soon. Your second career is something that you've never considered seriously as a career. You've thought about it, but you've never considered it." And he said, "It's going to make you very famous. And it's going to make you a lot of money, but it's going to take you to in front of a lot of people, right? And you've never thought seriously about doing this before, right?" And then he said, "You have a third career, right?" And he said, "The thing is, every time you move from one career to the other, you'll know, right?" He said, "Because things start to happen and they go right." And he said, like, you know, the things that happen in the previous career, things go wrong, right? Or you'll get signals. And in forestry, I got the signals and I moved into music. And the music was obviously my second career, right?
Yeah.
But he said the third career, and it's like, and suddenly the Croft has come up, right? And this is my third career. But the weird thing was, he said that your third career is going to make you even more famous and even more rich than your second career. And I'm going, how the hell am I going to make that much money at Crofton and Sheep, right? it's interesting because it's like, I think I'm really, I'm enjoying it as much as I did my initial kind of experiences and what I'm learning, because it is a big learning curve. I mean, you know, make no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying the learning, and I'm enjoying talking about the learning now. And I can sit down and have conversations with crofters and people in agriculture and things now, and I can talk about it. And I'm also moving to a part of the world where, you know, you can make a difference, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, with your views and being involved with the community, you can make a difference. Maybe that's kind of where it is, you know, with renewables or green attitudes or environment or something, you know, and my writing, you know, maybe this, it feels right.
Yeah.
I don't feel that, but sometimes I get really scared. I mean, sometimes I will wake up in the middle of the night, I will have fear, right? I'll go, what the fuck am I doing, right? Which, if I didn't have that, it would be wrong, right? But it feels natural, and it feels it's the right thing, you know, to do.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel good. I feel really, really good.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to, definitely. Totally. Yeah. I think this whole Zoom meeting is going to end very abruptly in like a minute. So,
lovely to see you again. Wonderful. No?
I'll see you in Munich. I'll be there.
Okay. Take care.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.